Wednesday morning, you're tuned into the home of Sport SEN, broadcasting out of 1170 AM in Sydney and all parts and on the SEN app. Wherever you're listening, we had a listener yesterday get in touch with us from Abu Dhabi, was listening to us. So hope you're still there, having a great day, night, whatever. But wherever you are in the world, let us know where you are. Now, James Magnusson in the co-host chair today, so it's Vossie and the Missile. James, we've been waxing lyrical this year, and so we should, about Wayne Bennett at 73 years of age, coaching the Dolphins. We have Tim Sheens at 72. Well, the saying, hold my beer, James. We've found someone older in elite sport.
Who have you got?
With that. Well, I was going to lead up to it. I was going to keep everyone in suspense.
All right.
Swimming coaches can be of an age.
Oh,
you know, there's been, over the years, there's been swimming coaches who, you know, go well into 60s, 70s?
Yep.
They go into the 70s to coach?
Yeah, absolutely, yep. We had Grant Hackett's coach, Dennis Cotterill. He was a bit of a mad scientist, had the long stringy hair. He must have been well into his late 60s, early 70s, was still getting up at 4 a.m. every morning.
Wow.
Absolutely loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. Well, incredibly, former England manager Roy Hodgson is back. At age 75, he will manage, coach Crystal Palace for the remainder of the EPL season. So he comes back at 75, and he says, it's a privilege to be asked to return to the club, which has always meant so much to me. So he's back in charge. Patrick Vieira had replaced Hodgson in 2021. Now I think he's gone. Well, he's got the flick, and Roy Hodgson's coming back at 75 as a manager in the EPL. How about that? It's a story to start Wednesday morning. And also in the football world too, if you like your football news, Kylian Mbappe, one of my favourites, you know, maybe the best in the world. He's been named French captain. He will be the new French captain at 24. So not only as talented as anyone in the world, he is now also the captain of the France side. And still waiting to hear a length of suspension for that Fulham player, Alexander Mitrovic, the Serbian who pushed the referee, assaulted the referee. No two ways about it. How long is he going to get? They're still talking between 6 and 10. I say life. I just say rub him out. Now, James, when was the last time you underwent surgery in your career? You had a few shoulder problems over the years.
Yeah, be 2015 I had my last shoulder eco.
Yeah. Do you just, you know, just man up and just put up with the pain? Were there any sort of...
Yeah, bite down on the mouth guard, grin and bear it.
Yeah. Like, no one likes going into surgery, quite obviously. You've got to be anxious, and there's no great criticism. But, you know, I think with Greg Alexander, with Viking hands, he's been through it before. He's had... you missed the story yesterday. So he'd already had the left hand done, and they did the skin graft from under the arm and put it onto the palm of the hand, and he now gets hairs growing out of the palms of his hand. True story.
No way.
I found that amazing. I've been telling that many people. So that's amazing.
Does he shave them?
They do the skin... Yeah, he has to shave it. Has to shave the palm of his hands. I mean, that's something you didn't know about the co-host Greg Alexander. So... we all thought, well, he's going through again. You know, we wished him well yesterday, but we didn't think there'd need to be too much love. He's been through this before. He knows what he's in for.
Yeah.
Well, we happened to get a microphone into the surgery yesterday as Brandy was about to go under, and we now have exclusive audio of what transpired. Have a listen.
Oh, my leg!
Now, Mr. Alexander, please calm down. We haven't even started yet. Nurse? Can we put some music on, please?
That's quality. That's the audio, Brandy. Having a bit of an episode, had a bit of a turn there. I don't know whether the gas was working for him. Maybe
that's harrowing stuff,
isn't it? You know, that's before they started. So, Brandy, we wish him well. But to warn you, Fox League viewers, Brandy's going to come back with a big sort of kingpin hand. He's not going to be able to wear... I don't know what he's going to wear. He's due to be on the panel this week, obviously doing his jobs. I think even... he's not working Thursday night, but he'll be on from Friday. How's he going to put a shirt on? A suit? He's going to have the massive, great cast hand, big rubber hand. What clothes can he wear?
Does that mean hair on both palms? Now they're going under the armpit again.
Well,
so is he growing armpit hair? On his palms.
On his palms. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty much what we're saying.
Next time I shake his hand, I'm going to think twice about that. Yeah.
Your hands smell like deodorant. Smell like brute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, true story.
That's rough.
True story.
This is not bum hair, I guess.
Well, that's right. Well, in all seriousness, I thought that's where they'd do the skin graft.
So did I.
But they don't. They did from under the arm. Something to do. There's obviously some foundation for that, medical reason, something or other. But there you go. Audio of that.
Sweaty palms.
Great stuff. Now, here you go. Talking about of an age manager. Tony La Russa for the Chicago White Sox managed at 78 last year.
Mm.
So we've got Roy Hodgson, we've got Wayne Bennett, we've got Tim Sheens all covered out of the Major Baseball League. There you go. So coming up with more. This one, morning, boys. Great show. Vossi and James, great to hear you using Westmore when calling West Tigers games. Cheers, Macca from Goulburn. Well, they are Wests. You don't have to say the West Tigers all the time, James. I don't think about it a lot when I'm calling. It just comes out. You know?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you the only thing. But you never call Sydney Roosters Sydney.
Are they Lieutenant Sydney Dan, Roosters, are they? You?
Yeah, they're the Sydney Roosters, but no one ever says, now they're 10 metres out from the Sydney line.
Yeah.
Ever. No one says that ever. Lieutenant Dan, do you have a problem with that?
No, Sydney Roosters is fine.
But we have to say both. It's
No one would ever say Sydney, no. Never.
Eastern suburbs. They're just eastern suburbs.
South Sydney fans wouldn't like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, Souths, they're Souths. They're not Sydney, but Sydney Roosters are just Sydney. But we don't say Sydney. It's interesting. Does Brandy have to spray Old Spice on his palms now? That from the Western Sydney Eagle.
Yeah, I'm wondering the same thing. Does he get smelly palms?
Yeah, Baz is... I don't know where Baz is taking this. He says, all the best for the sex change, Brandy. Where'd that come from? And from the old Berry, please tell Brandy that the first sign of madness is hair on the palm of the hand. The second sign of madness is looking for it. So there's
That's completely thrown me out. Hairy palms is wacky stuff.
Yeah.
That ain't bussin', Bussy.
Bussin', yeah. Now, ahead of David Riccio, too, this is out of Puff Dragon. I don't know what that means, but morning, Vossi and James. Why can't Saints just stop wasting more time and another season and sign Shane Flanagan now? Too easy. Shane Flanagan, premiership winning coach, assistant at Manly right now, has been an assistant there at the Dragons.
Surely he doesn't have to do a presentation as well. They know him as well. He's there for a year. I don't know. It's a weird scenario, isn't it?
Mm. All right, 12 minutes after 7, David Riccio is the man who knows all. And I think he's been working the phone since we had that texter earlier in the morning. Our first, no, not texter, open line caller.
Yeah.
Was it James of Arncliffe? Was it? Who had the mail?
Troy?
Ross. Mail out of the Tigers. Could be change in the hierarchy. Here's Dave Riccio.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
David, can you expand on Ross from Arncliffe? Was it you texting him?
Good morning, boys. No, it wasn't. Interesting, though. The calls are in, boys. We'll see where it goes from there.
Okay.
The text message comes to fruition.
Well, he put a double whammy in for our listeners who've just joined us who missed it. He put a double whammy. He said they text from a very good source. Not a bad one, a good source. Not only was Justin Pascoe gone, he also had Mitchell Moses will be coming to the Tigers. So that's a rumor floated out on the Motorola open line earlier this morning. Now the Kafusi suspension, James and I have had our say. We believe wrong call on the length of suspension. Mm. What's your opinion, David?
Yeah, boys, I'm struggling to hear of any league commentators, experts within the game that support this decision to suspend Kafusi for 4 weeks. I find it staggering, I've got to admit. I think clubs are now at a point where they'll simply just start pleading guilty. They probably believe fair hearings are a thing of the past. There was just no high contact in the tackle. There was no unacceptable risk of injury that justifies 4 weeks. I'll say it again. He made no contact with Jackson Hastings' head. I was of the opinion he was at the point of collision, he was actually leaning back out of the tackle, pulling back out of the tackle, so the force of impact was less. And had he not, we would have seen the true impact of the tackle. Hastings wouldn't have got off the ground. It would have been so significant. We know how heavy Kaufusi hits.
Mm.
But because he started to reel away from the tackle as far as the impact is concerned, he certainly still got him, but the full impact wasn't there. And again, he didn't get him high. I thought the Suoliti one was much worse, and he only received a fine.
Yeah,
I'm staggered by it. I think we're going to see a huge aftermath in relation to this suspension, and again calls for a review of the judiciary process.
Does the position of the player you hit have an impact on the charge? For example, if that hit was on a front rower instead of a halfback in Hastings, would we still see Kaufusi getting 4 weeks? Do you think, Dave?
Great question.
Oh, I think Missile. I think absolutely. There's been a deliberate attempt by the NRL to protect our playmakers. And that's fair enough. Absolutely, I agree. And Andrew Johns, the immortal, has been outspoken about this, the protection of halves. And I agree wholeheartedly. We don't need our best players being ironed out late off the ball. But in this scenario, I don't think that fits the bill. Where, you know, in Suoliti's case, that was correct, you know? So, I'm all for, as I said, Miss, I'm all for that protection of the halves. But in this case, they've got it wrong. But,
yeah, that's right, protection of the halves. But the penalty doesn't need to be 4 weeks. I mean, you're so right, David, when you said between Suoliti a fine, and then throw into the mix plenty of people, Buzz, and all that talking about drink water. You know, his shoulder ended up a broken jaw, and quite obviously he pleaded guilty early, so he gets rewarded. He gets 1 week. He gets 25% discount for pleading early to one that was, you know, quite obviously caused the damage. And then Kaufusi goes in to defend himself. We all think he has a case. Now he gets an extra week on top of the three. It just...
Yeah.
That's not... It's not fair. It's not fair. I don't know how else to put
Bossy,
it. That's not how sports
I said
work.
It from the top. Yeah, I agree. I said it from the top. I have no doubt now. No doubt. Clubs will just plead guilty. They won't waste their time. And maybe that's what the NRL's looking for. Everyone having a night off on Wednesday nights, just to chill out, save some money at the judiciary. But we saw the Wade Graham one. Round one, I thought there was an element of a downgrade there. No chance. Suspended 4 weeks. Then, and the inconsistencies is what drives fans absolutely bonkers. Like, it's just so impossible to understand. This is another case. As I said, I have a firm belief that we will see so many clubs just plead guilty, take the early plea, not bother.
Yeah, it's going to be the safer option. Jerome Hughes was also suspended for 2 matches, but Cam Munster is back. Will he be able to cover the loss of Hughes?
Well, Miss Ollie's been named. Cam Munster's definitely been named, and it's perfect timing, given that, as you said, Hughes has just been given 2 matches. That's a blow for the Melbourne Storm, given the state that they're in. Munster, guys, I can tell you this. He has a pin in that finger. So he's meeting with a specialist today. And if he can get that pin removed today, he'll train tomorrow. Only needs to get through tomorrow's final training session and he'll be cleared to play. But so there's two hurdles there. Firstly, get that pin removed by the specialist today and get through training tomorrow. But that would be a huge boost, obviously, guys, for the Melbourne Storm. I can't recall Craig Bellamy being more bereft of ideas or answers as far as how the Melbourne Storm are travelling, like he is currently, openly admitting that he doesn't know what's going wrong. So the injection of Cam Munster would be significant for the Storm. And Jonah Pezzett, guys, originally named on the bench here, for the return of Munster, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being a Munster-Pezzett halves combo if Munster is cleared tomorrow. So
he was really good.
Yeah, look, he was. Certainly was.
I love listening to The Run Home with Joel and Fletcher. Joel, another one that came into the mix was that, you know, previously Tigers and Melbourne, the swap deal, Harry Grant, you know, got first grade experience on his growth because he was able to get a start there because he's behind Cameron Smith. I wonder if they'd even entertain the thought of... Melbourne obviously need help in some other areas, and I think the Tigers, I know they're bottom of the table, but I think they've got surplus forwards. You know, I don't... If everyone's fit and healthy, I think they've got too many. Could you do a swap deal with Jonah Pezza just for this year, just a loan deal, where the young halfback gets first grade every week at the Tigers, Jonah Pezza, and Melbourne Storm pick up one of the Tigers forwards in a swap deal? That was an idea aired on The Run Home here on SEN. Does that sort of thing, you think that could ever happen again, or was Harry Grant the last time we're going to see that in the COVID times and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Look, Vossi, I'm only going to answer this because I know the type of character Jonah Pezzett is. This kid is so diligent and focused and determined to stay within the Melbourne Storm franchise and learn from the best. To the point where he has had numerous lucrative deals from rival clubs to leave time and time again. He actually told his agent, don't bother telling me any of the offers. Don't bother telling any club I'm interested in leaving. I want to stay and learn off the best, as I just said. So I can only answer that on based on Jonah's character. It's pretty promising for a young fella that just wants to learn his craft and get there in the end within the Melbourne Storm franchise.
All right. At the Tigers, Brandon Wakeham is the answer. What was the question? That's my question to you.
How
3 weeks into the season can a player you bought as a bit part backup become a linchpin of your attack? I just can't believe that.
What do you think of this,
Bossy? Panic stations.
I'm blown away. Because all off season, we'd heard about the West Tigers' stunning attacking offense at training.
Yep.
And here we are, 3 weeks into the season, and they've ripped it apart. They begin the season with Charlie Staines trialing at fullback. Dane Laurie has played fullback. Adam Dewey has now been moved to fullback. David Nofaluma is out of the side. Brandon Wakeham was squeezed out of the Dogs. We all know how the Dogs have been travelling in the past. I think Wakeham's definitely got ability as a player. But if the Tigers were sitting back 3 weeks ago, look, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and going, Brandon Wakeham is going to be our answer, I would have been, stunned. I'm stunned by this.
Yep.
And look, I wish them all the best because I hope it does kick them into gear.
Of course.
But yeah, stunning.
3 weeks in, it's absolute press of a panic button. David, we can follow all the stories on the Telegraph website today.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. Go well.
All right, and get on those phones around the Tigers and follow up the Brandy surgery news as well. 22 after 7. Hemi Goodman's back. Junket Jimmy is back on the show at the moment. He's been everywhere and to tell a few tales from his travels in just a moment.
Welcome back to Breakfast. You're with Vossi in the Missile this morning. Now, here he is, the man on one of the great junkets. He's been in India on the weekend. He was back in Belmore. I know which I'd prefer, but Hemi Goodman, welcome back to the show. What was the highlight of the trip so far, Hemi?
Two very different junkets there, India and Belmore, but enjoyed both. Look, it was a lot of fun over there. I was the warm favourite amongst the touring party to go down first in some sort of Delhi belly situation. But Iron Guts Goodman showed his class. I was the last one standing, touch wood. I'm all good. Probably the highlight, I'm not sure whether you saw me get the full body paint on. I'm now the self-appointed CEO of the Todd Murphy Fan Club. Whacked a bit of body paint on. There was a language barrier with the blokes that put it on me, so I'm not sure if it was lead-based or not. Bit of a wait and see. but it was good fun. We had a great trip, but it is nice to be back.
Great stuff. And you come back, Tigers, Wooden Spooners last year, and you're going to go with the Wooden Spoon Market. You're going to cop it on the chin here, Hemi. What have you got for us, the Wooden Spoon Market? In the
yeah. Area? Well, Vossi, I hate to say it, I know Lee had you been tasked for the show, but there's a new favourite overnight. Yesterday, the night, down the Tigers were $3. The Tigers are now into $2.90. Then you've got the Dragons at $6.50. Look, it's going to be tough to see it going to anyone outside the Tigers and the Knights. The Dolphins started the year $2.80 favourites. They're now $21 to win the spoon. They won't be taking it home, but can they make the eight? They're now into $2.60 to make the eight, the Dolphins. And of course, we've got Bennett Bowl this Friday. The Dolphins take on the Brisbane Broncos. The Dolphins $3.50 in that one. The Broncos $1.31. But I think, you know, the Dolphins are now everyone's second team. If my boys don't pull their socks up, they could very well be my first team by the end of the year. But I'm all aboard the Dolphins on Friday. A little Dolphins-Tigers double might be the way to go. We're $3.25, the Tigers against the Storm. How are the Storm $1.35 favourites? Please. They've shown nothing the last couple of weeks. The Tigers showed a bit in that second half the other day. I think the Tigers win at $3.25. And I think Alex Twal scores at $14. Same game multi there. We'll get you $24.
Twal this weekend. Yeah, there you go. Alex Twal, he's gone close. Gone close the last couple of weeks. India v Australia ODI tonight in that best of three series.
Yes, this is the decider of Aussie, and I think there's great value here for the Aussies, who finished the entire match in 37 overs on Sunday. India $1.65 favourites, the Aussies $2.15. The man I'm looking at is Mitchell Starc, 8 wickets across the first two games. He's $3.75 to be the top Aussie wicket taker. He's $16 to be player of the match, which he was the other night as well. So I think there's great value around Mitch Starc.
And the New South Wales election, Hammy, any markets on that one? And a quick reminder to all our listeners to get out and vote this weekend.
Great reminder. Mr. Good to see
that's what I'm here for.
This weekend. well, the market suggests there will be a change in government. Labor $1.20 favourites in the sworn-in government market. The coalition of $5. If you like your parliaments hung, you're looking good. $1.40 to see a hung parliament formed. $3.
What do you mean by that, Hemi? You like your
what
parliaments
I mean
like you like your politicians?
Get out and vote.
The world is back to normal.
You're back on deck, mate. We just feel better. I'm feeling warm and fuzzy right now that you're back, Hemi.
Me too, boys. Thank you so much for having me back, and I will chat to you same time tomorrow.
Can I get a quick vote for you, Hemi? Brandon Wakeham at 5'8 for the Tigers, yay or nay?
Not sold, to be honest, but I'll get back to you next week. I'm probably, as a swinging voter, I'm probably leaning towards no.
He's a swinger, Hemi. We knew he was a swinger. Remember, make it look easy with Sportsbet, same race multi this autumn racing. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly, of course. 1-800-858-858 is that number.
And straight out of the news, we'll talk more about suburban footy. Does it still mean a lot to you? And that's sort of a storyline going into the election this weekend, that the would-be leaders have brushed developments and upgrading for suburban ground. So have your say right here on Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile.
Thanks, Vanessa. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's Lawyers. Time now for this.
Hello, Moto.
Yes, the Motorola open line is 1300 01 1170. Smartphones for any budget. Visit motorola.com.au. And the Edgewater Homes text line is 0457 736 736. Edgewaterhomes.com.au.
It is 25 minutes to 8. Look, we keep saying and we keep proving it. SEN is the home of sport. Now, SEN will air a special 1 hour John Sattler tribute show this Saturday from 5 p.m. as we count down to the Bunnies playing the Seagulls on Saturday night. You'll hear from the likes of Craig Coleman, Bob McCarthy, Jason Demetrio, Ron Coote, who we had on the program here yesterday, Nick Pappas, who was a guest of Matt White, and indeed Scotty Sattler. SEN tribute to a rugby league icon is 5 o'clock this Saturday. 5 p.m. Saturday, a tribute to John Sattler, and obviously you'll be able to get a podcast of that, download it, and SEN putting that together with many paying tribute, and it was just a queue of people who wanted to pay tribute to the great John Sattler. So lock that in, 5 o'clock Saturday here on SEN. Now, suburban footy, we asked the question early this morning, James, just to recount for listeners who weren't with us at 6, Sunday afternoon you did the full Belmore Hill experience.
That's right. I'll go 8 out of 10. The only two things that needed improvement was needed more gates or more people scanning tickets to get in. And the facilities sometimes at these grounds leave a little bit to be desired. It's hard to get a drink. The bathroom's a little dicey. But in terms of the football, the atmosphere, the game day experience, that's just second to none.
So we put out their poll today about how important suburban footy is to you. We'll give you the running count in a moment. But these are some of the reactions. Mr. Black here says, is there anything more delicious than following your team to an away game and beating the opposition in their own backyard? I think not. Suburban for rounds, stadiums for finals, is his opinion. From overseas listeners, you know, buying into this discussion. This one from Bejesus. When I was in Australia, the experiences I remember were at Manly, Leichhardt, Cronulla and Newcastle. I imagine big games at Olympic Park or being a core and SFS are good, but the ones I went to were more than half empty and lacked any atmosphere. See, so it's a more enjoyable experience from this particular listener being at a suburban crowd that, you know, has vibrant atmosphere because it's only a smaller capacity as opposed to sitting in a what sometimes can be a cavernous stadium. I think you can understand that point, James.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the poll right now. So the question we've got running, at Vossie Brandy SEN is the Twitter account, at Vossie Brandy SEN, give us a follow. But the poll is, would you rather watch your footy at a suburban ground or big stadium? And it's running at 70% suburban ground at the moment. And more. Here's some more. This one, at home, watching on Fox. There's people saying, no, they'd rather do that. Fair enough. This one from Nathan. Allianz, CommBank, Suncorp provide an amazing experience with all things considered. If suburban grounds got their transport, FNB, food and beverage, sorted, then it's a different story. So they're tapping into what you found, James. If you could look after those areas.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for all of that. Let's get back to the Edgewater Homes text line. A reminder, we will have an Edgewater Homes texter of the week and you will win a double pass to an NRL game of your choice.
This one first up from Jason says, if the Tigers don't make changes, you give them crap for sticking to something that isn't working. When they make changes, they've hit the panic button.
Well, Jason, no, I'll clarify that. I stand by everything I've said. Brandon Wakeham was signed as a bit part backup, and that's being honest. He has played 25 games in first grade. He is not a starting halfback in first grade. And for a team to train all off-season with star players and 3 weeks into the season go to the bit part player in a key position, that is panicking. Adam Dewey did not train at fullback in the off-season. He's now the fullback. They're ridiculous changes in my book for the Tigers. They had to stick with what they had and work harder. But I just don't. Brandon Wakeham, keep him 14 to 17 and he can come on like he did the other day, but he can't be the start. He can't be starting halves. Can't be one of the playmakers. Vossie and Missile, West Tigers should be chasing Braden Trindle. Braden Trindle at the Sharks, James, is signed up for. No, but he signed up for the next 2 years.
Ah.
So he's there next season and the season after that. Well, I guess so he's happy to be that backup player.
I guess that's their succession plan for Matt Moylan, who's, you know, getting on in years, probably in his last season or two. I think Braden Trindle has been excellent those first couple of rounds for the Sharks. St. Hubert's Bulldog says, love the Belmore experience and going with my adult son, sitting on the hill with the passionate fans and reminiscing about the glory days. Although it was bloody hot and some shade would have been nice, we also went to Brookie round one. Another great day despite the score. Homebush is too big and the players are miles away. Bankwest and Gosford, though, of great size ground. From the St. Hubert's Bulldogs.
Chippo Eagle says, unfortunate no funding this time around in the election. Should be like previous elections. Promise the world and deliver an atlas. Not sure how many times Brookie has been promised a full upgrade. That from Chippo Eagle. Troy had sent us a text about not a huge fan of the suburban experience, and it's a bit looking with rose-coloured glasses. The Mad Dog at Alexandria says he's with Troy. Love an occasional suburban ground, but the facilities don't cut it. The line to get in at Belmore on Sunday was diabolical for starters, and in the rain it would be a nightmare.
That's a good point. The rain. The rain and the grassy knoll, they just don't mix, do they?
Well, how do you... Yeah, okay, I get that. But how can you have both? If you like the hill and we're a winter sport, then it can't always be, you know, brilliant sunshine out on the hill. You know, you can't fold out. You can't just bring out the hill temporarily and then put it away. It's there or it's not. Mm. And if you're a hill man, well, you got to put up with the wearing the poncho.
The slush. The slush of the hill. Could be slippery on that Belmore Hill, actually. The Pearl says, if they took the skin graft from Brandy's manhood? Would he keep raising his hand when he gets excited?
Talking about Brandy's surgery, if you missed an exclusive audio yesterday, Greg Alexander going in for the Viking hand surgery. He's going to come out with a big kingpin hand. He's going to be Munsoned. This is what happened yesterday.
Oh, my leg!
Now, Mr. Alexander, please calm down. We haven't even started yet. Nurse, can we put some music on, please?
Ivan's on there. You know, I was working in the warehouse yesterday, the Mr. Voss Canada warehouse, and it's quite disturbing, really. I reckon for over an hour, I am singing the Ivan song constantly. Like, Ivan. I'm just losing it. I'm going nuts. Just singing the Ivan song. Is it having the same effect on our listeners? Are you... Jared Waitley's coming on the program. Is there a Jared song? Could we dig out a Jared song? Maybe that'll get the Ivan song out of my head if I could substitute another name. Suburban grounds are nice, but they should rename Leichhardt Oval to the Microwave, as the Tigers are done in 5 minutes. Thank you for that text, Tigers. It's an anti-Tigers line, text line.
It is, isn't it? Good areas, Crisco. Martin says, good morning, team. With all your talk about suburban ground games, it's sad that the Dragons versus Sharks this Sunday has had little attention. The blowout in the final 10 minutes versus the Broncos hasn't helped the build-up. Regards, Martin. Yeah, I think it'll be a good game.
Oh, damn straight. Yeah. Damn straight. Calling that one for Fox League. I'm going to say, I had a moment mentally. I'll let you know how I'm thinking ahead when I'm thinking of my schedule. I can't wait to have the Mr. Whippy at the end of the Cogra game. He's up the league's club end of the ground.
What's your order?
Call the game. Oh, double cone vanilla. No flake. Just bang, the big one, the big double. I cannot wait to get to Cogra on Sunday. Is it Oakey Jubilee? What is it? What's it called now? I don't even know. University? What? Net Strata. That's it. Net Strata Jubilee. That's what it is. I can't wait to have the double cone, Mr. Whippy, at Cogra. And let's hope for a full house and a good game. This is Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile. Love it. Andrew says, Vossie, I did the same thing dropping my kids to school yesterday, singing Ivan. Most parents thought I had been to an early opener after the night shift. And the Twitter line, Twitter can be a negative place as well, James. This one from Michael, love going to places like Shark Park and Leichhardt where you can't see anything, have to line up for a minimum of 20 minutes for food and drink and risk your health going into toilets that should have been condemned decades ago. So not everyone a fan of suburban footy. Now, make your own rules at Anytime Fitness. Anytime Fitness, they live up to the name, and now it's up to you. Michelle Bishop, some news on David Warner.
Yeah, the clock is ticking. He's certainly looking for the thumbs up from the team's medical staff ahead of the final one day of tonight. He did complete training last night. It was only his second session, guys, since returning to India. He suffered a hairline fracture of his left elbow during the second test. He went home to recuperate, as we all know, but Warner's first practice session when he returned to Mumbai to catch up with the rest of the team, that session was aborted, if you remember, when a ball cannoned into his thigh off an inside edge, forcing him out of the net. So, as I say, time is ticking. Fingers crossed it'll actually get to play. But we have seen Mitch Marsh do a great job in his, as his replacement.
Few puns there, Michelle. Fingers crossed, thumbs up. I like it.
Nudge with the elbow, you know what I mean?
World Rugby Funding is an Australian landmark study to investigate the cause and impact of breast injuries sustained during matches.
Yeah, and this is clearly on the back of an increase in female athletes playing contact sports. So we're now deeply researching the effects of concussion across, every code. So I think this is quite encouraging. So a breast injuries expert and associate professor at the University of Wollongong, Deirdre McGee, is focusing on the incidence of breast injuries sustained during training and matches. Data is going to be collected over the next 2 years to develop guidelines on prevention and protection. As I say, those results will be captured over 2 years and they'll form the development of a classification system for breast injuries, which is set to be rolled out globally, so right across the world. Great to see the Aussies at the forefront of this. She says there's initial research to suggest a correlation between breast trauma and breast cancer. So the concern is breast injuries that are sustained during matches and practices aren't and haven't been being reported over a long period of time. So this might be a little bit awkward for some women playing the sport, but I think it's so important that we're addressing these issues now rather than wait a couple of decades into the sport like AFLW or NRLW and then start to scratch our heads and say, hey, gee, if we could have, should have, would have.
Yeah, I think that is... I've thought about that for a long time. The hits have got bigger, haven't they?
Oh, I think about it quite often, watching those girls, thinking how brave they are. But there are such things as breast protectors, boob armour, that sort of stuff. So it's not as if they've just, you know, stormed onto the field, you know, without thinking about it.
Now, Michelle, the effect of the Ivan song on your life, do you find yourself on Channel 7? Are you singing the song? Is it sort of stuck
in
there?
I did yesterday in the car, how embarrassing. It actually turned into another song. I was like, Ivan, and then I started saying, shiny, bad times behind me. It was just, I hate it when that happens. But thanks, Ivan, and, good luck with your 400 games.
Yeah, okay. You're welcomed at Anytime Fitness, no matter who you are or what your goals. Anytime Fitness and Michelle Bishop will run back for the report next hour for Anytime Fitness.
See you then, guys.
Okay. This one, Jay says, I was humming the Ivan song as I fell asleep. Send help. G'day, fellas. Please don't say my real name. My wife listens. Okay. Regarding the stadium talk, it's like asking, do you prefer blondes or brunettes? Why can't we have both? Can't say the name. Vossi, what's the commentary boxes like between the suburban grounds and the biggest
stadium? Good question.
The suburban grounds, you can normally, at the very least, you can open the window. A lot of the big stadiums, you can't, so you get cut off. It's great to be able to open the window and people can turn around and abuse you face-to-face. That part of it brings in the atmosphere, but no, they can be a bit squishy. Like, Cogra this Sunday night is a squishy box. It's a squishy, it's not the big, but it's okay. It's okay. It's still calling footy. It's still the office to do the work. 7 minutes to eight. Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.